lights out, we're underway. It's Motorsport Republica podcast.
James Shaw, welcome. Motorsport Republica, episode 120.
Go on, what's it? What is it, Tom?
121.
Nice.
Yeah, 121 of the best.
Nice.
Talk about, actually, it should be episode 93, because 93 are the best. Unbelievable from James's boy, Mark Marquez.
Yeah, man. Unbelievable. Amazing performance in Mugello.
Yep.
It's a surprise and also not a surprise at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I knew all along. I had him first, so yeah.
Yeah. Cool, bro.
Shut me down. That's fair enough. I mean, it was just an incredible effort from the sprint race to the main race. Yeah, it's, you know, the obstacle of the start, which we'll get into in the sprint, and then the obstacle of a very hungry Pecco Bagnaia. Mm. And I think he knew he had to do it at the start of that race.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
was just throwing that bike wherever he could to get in front of Marquez, because he knew once he was behind, it was going to be a very hard task.
He was pushing like we've probably never seen him push really just about ever, but especially for this season. And then, you know, we watched it together. We saw him lose the front.
It's very nice.
And on the last corner, and I even said that, like, he's going to lose all confidence now, and then he drops. So
he did.
But credit to Marquez. There's a lot of talking points in this episode. There's a lot of talking points about Ducati, Italy, Mark Marquez, Alec Marquez, Tardozzi, Bagnaia. But just what a spectacle Mugello is, isn't it? And it's back.
It's back, baby. It is back in a big way. And we're going
to
actually cross to live correspondent Curtis on the couch. His parents were there. So we'll have some insight in that. But the biggest crowd since the 70s and the biggest crowd, you know, in the modern day four-stroke era.
Which, so, is that right? It's the modern day four-stroke era?
Yes, correct. Yeah. The biggest crowd since 1976.
Wow.
Biggest Italian motorcycle Grand Prix crowds. And so, more than Rossi's heyday. And I don't know. Look, I'm guessing that they may have had more, you know, there's more, maybe more grandstands, more spots to sit. Because I'm sure when Rossi was around, there was it was sold out months before. Like, you'd make that assumption. But in all seriousness, MotoGP is alive and well. And, and so is Mugello. It's back in a big way, because there was a couple of years there where the Italians just did not turn up.
Bro,
prices 100%. Went up, and, you know, and then you see everyone now, the camping sites are back. So it was good.
You could see
it
by the naked eye. Like, the last couple of years, you could tell by the naked eye. Like, there was gaps everywhere.
Yeah.
But now,
it's amazing. And we touched on this all race yesterday. It was like, it's like VR46, their team, run by Rossi.
The god of Italy.
The god of Italy. And then they're saying, oh no, the Italians aren't going to want Digi to pass bags for the post. What are you talking about? Like, it doesn't make sense.
I know. But they're right. I don't think they all wanted Bagnaia.
But like, strange.
It's like they weren't really on Bagnaia's back when he was winning.
And now he's
not
Italian.
Winning.
And he's Italian.
And now they're on his back. None of it makes any sense. I feel like we're in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it was super strange. It was. It was like Illuminati or something was going on with Matty Burt, because it was all happening. And I'll get into the results.
That's because we've got a deep dive into that, because there's a lot more to that.
There's going to be a lot of deep diving tonight. A lot of deep diving. So Mark Marquez first, Alex Marquez second, is becoming a Quinella of the year. Fabio Di Giantonio third, which was a big surprise for me with like 10 laps to go. And we touched on it last night in our quick vid. Came from the clouds, to be honest.
Yep.
And Pecco Bagnaia ended up 5 seconds behind Marquez. Bezzecchi fifth. Yep. Morbidelli. We'll get on that later. Morbidelli sixth. Raul Fernandez, the best race of his career, in seventh. Pedro Acosta in eighth, Binder in ninth, and Aigura. We watched him all through the race, and James, you mentioned it. Aigura was out 17th, 18th at the time, and then came back through the field. Honorable mention, Aldeguer ran wide to the first corner and then ended up 12th. So, you know, pretty incredible effort.
He had race pace. He had top four, almost podium race pace. Unfortunately, he just ran wide into San Donato, went in way too hot. But as I said last week, it's a very tough rookie track. Very, very tough rookie track.
Yeah, it's a good point. And Somchat Kandra. Take the two long laps out of it. Finished 30 seconds behind Savadori, test rider.
Bro. And 14 seconds in the sprint. I don't know if he had an issue in the sprint behind Nakagami, the test rider.
Finished nearly 40 seconds behind Nakagami.
It
was a minute and 10 behind the winner.
I just don't understand this, man, because Let's start with this because I was thinking about this. This is how annoyed I was thinking about it in the shower. This is wild. But
you normally think about other stuff in the shower.
That's you, man. Now, with Chantra, what I don't understand with this rider is it. I think it's detrimental to Thai Asian riders. Because he's obviously not up for it. Like, there's questions need to be asked of this rider. And this wasn't a part of the script. The script was to get Iguru onto this bike and he would never have had a ride. And that's the truth. But Iguru was too smart and said, I don't want to be on this Honda. It kills careers. And then I can go on a Trackhouse Aprilia, which could be one of the better bikes on the grid. Chantra, like, you know, we say he's a rookie and all this stuff, and that's fine, but... You know, he was struggling in Moto2. I think he might have had a couple of podiums here and there, but really nothing noteworthy. But to be that far behind these riders in the premier class, it's a little bit laughable. And I don't want to... Well, no one's laughing, but I just don't think it's great for Thai riders when it's like, we all know why you're there.
Oh, it's not great for... any Asian rider coming into that team.
Correct. Like, at least Nakagami, when he was in there, yeah, we had a laugh, but he could still pull 12th. He could still pull points.
He's 40 seconds. Nakagami was 40 seconds in front of Chandra. I mean, like you were saying, it's embarrassing.
And I know he had a double long lap and stuff.
Yeah, but what's that, 6 seconds? You know, 6 seconds maybe?
It doesn't make 40 seconds.
No, it does not make 40 seconds. And the thing is, yes, we laughed at Nakagami, you know, crush Agami that many years. He should be still on that bike.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best you got. Like, leave him in there.
Yeah, I know.
You know, leave him in there. I mean, it's just, as you said, it's laughable. And something drastically needs to be done because, you know, it's a seat that could go, you know.
It's a good seat.
It's a great seat.
It's a good seat now.
Honda's coming back. It's back, you know. So, yeah, I don't know what they can do. And I don't see any talent in Moto2, Moto3, like Furusato. He's just, well, we'll touch on that. He's the roadblock. We found out he is actually the Moto3 roadblock.
He's a group splitter.
So he's like the slow guy in the peloton, Tour de France, and gets caught in the crosswind. Yeah.
But no, you're right. There's no one really noteworthy coming through. And this is a good seat. And it's just, this is not helping their cause. This is not helping their cause at all.
No.
And I've been saying this with Chantra from round one, that I don't think he should be there. And, you know, it's a sponsorship. Yeah, it's that. But it's not helping their cause with Asia Road Racing. It's just not.
Yeah.
And you know, Manu Gonzalez jumps on a bike and is already quicker than him.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's just the difference in talent and adaptability. Because Chantra's obviously got talent. He's so fast. He's a fast Moto2 rider. He can obviously ride a MotoGP bike. He goes to any track day, he's going to wipe the floor off anyone. Like, we understand that. But the gap between Moto, like these Grand Prix riders, he's just not there. And it's just becoming a bit of a joke now.
He's actually getting worse race by race. That's the problem.
He must have arm pump issues. I know he went in the arm, had surgery, missed a round. I understand that. But this is a serious issue where, like, you know, what does Checanello do? Like, obviously, you're taking the money, but it's just getting to a point now, it's a bit of a farce.
And the other thing is, there's more money coming into the sport. Liberty Media taking the whole thing over. There's going to be more money, more eyes on the sport, more sponsorship. So, you know, there's something that has to give on this. But, you know, it must be the Idemitsu Honda in bed together.
Yeah, and it's a big company. It's a big oil company.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. But, I mean,
it
doesn't look good on them.
It doesn't look good on anyone. It really doesn't. It doesn't look good on... There's the talent coming through with Asia Road Racing. It does not look good.
Mm.
And it's just... They need to sort that out because, yes, like, they should have Iguru, but he didn't want to go on the bike, and that's fine. But you can't just pluck anyone into Grand Prix racing. It just doesn't work.
No, it does not work. You're right. Let's move on to something more positive. That performance from Marquez all weekend is shell-shocking.
So he got pole, didn't he?
He got pole.
One.
And the fact of the matter is, let's start with the sprint because I don't know if anyone knows this, but he goes to the line in first position, thinks he's already turned on the start procedure. What do you call it?
It's like the
launch control. The launch control.
Yeah.
He's gone, oh, let me turn it on. He's turned it off. And then he's grabbed the clutch, gone full throttle. And what the launch control does, it limits the amount of revs. And the thing's gone vroom, pinged up. He's like, oh my God. He's smart enough in this 3 seconds to turn around, keep the clutch in. Otherwise, he would have stalled it. I don't know if he would have stalled it, but not sure what would have happened. Turn the launch control on. And as he's coming back to the throttle, the lights go out and then pulls the throttle and releases. And I mean,
but he doesn't even see the lights. He just hears everyone else and just wraps it on.
And like to be so composed in that moment, like, you know, if it was anyone else, I'm not sure. I mean, the lights of Bagnaia and Quartararo, you think they're smart enough to do that. But if it was one of the guys up the back, I mean, I think they'd still be sitting there with a lap to... lap after the first lap.
I think he said this when we were watching it. It only happens to Marquez though. Like this stuff only happens to him.
And he's so meticulous. Like, you know, he's perfect in every other way, but just makes these silly mistakes.
It's like these little brain fades, but maybe because you're just so locked in, it's just it has
different mindset.
It's a different mindset for whatever reason. It's just a different mindset, but. How he rode over the sprint and how he rode, especially over the Sunday, the main race, like him and Bagnaia going at it, he just had an answer for everyone. And I still feel like he had 3 tenths in his pocket. You know, he was managing that second gap with Alex Marquez and then just put the burners on for 2 laps and it was 1.8. Like he just made everyone look silly in a track where he's notoriously never that fast at. He's won there once. In MotoGP.
Well, it's ominous signs because he's worked out the first half of the race he's just got to stay cool, let the tires come to him. He's the fastest rider on, you know, he's the fastest rider out there. So let the race come to him.
Yeah.
He probably attacked Bagnaia harder than what I thought he was going to. I thought he might have let him go for a few laps, but you know, and then Alex came and passed him. And the big thing with Bagnaia, and this is the huge thing, yes, Marquez is beating him, but he's consistently now getting beaten by Alex on a last year bike. It is, damage limitations for the rest of the year for him now.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, which is, he must know now, okay, championship's gone. Like, he didn't even podium in
his number Magello. One track. Number one track. Number like, won one there track. 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
He's won the last 3 years. He's won the last 2 sprints there.
And he said, if I can't be competitive here, then we've got some serious issues. Well, I still think it was still a better performance, in my opinion, a lot of other races he's had, though.
Oh, 100%.
Like he still rode really well. But he was still aggressive. But when Marquez and Alex Marquez put the burners on, there's no way he could keep up. And he pushed so hard like into the last corner and Pacini, bang, like he almost lost the front. It was really amazing to save it. But he just didn't have answers. And that's just the difference in talent between Mark and Pecco Bagnaia. Realistically, no Italians will want to admit that, but it's true. Like, this is where we're at.
Well, the thing is as well, I think in the midst of that battle at the start of the race, I think Mark was still conserving the tyre, where Bagnaia was just going hell for leather.
It would have stung, man, because he wanted to win that bad.
As soon as Didger even passed Bags, he was out the back 3 seconds behind straight away. He lost tyres, you know, like, and he must have been pushing that hard at the start just to... And going back to my point at the start of the pod, like, he just knew he had to get it done in that first half of the race and just get a lead because it's the only way you can rattle Marquez. To his credit, he put on a fucking show.
Didn't he?
He put on a fucking show, and those, you know, it was like a football stadium out there. Everyone was cheering when he passed. Yep. So
it was awesome.
It was great to see.
Really good that he did that and was aggressive and they, you know, banging bikes. It was awesome racing. That's what we want to see.
Yeah.
And that's all he could do. And good on him for that. Like he still rode amazing and put on a show because he wanted to win that more than he's almost wanted to win anything, I reckon.
And at the start of the race, I said to James, I said, dude, I hope Bags wins this.
Yeah, he did. You did.
I really wanted him to win. You know, he's a bloody unbelievable rider, multiple world champion.
Really good guy.
And obviously just down in the dumps with confidence to a certain extent.
Nah, for sure.
And I think he really needed that. But then Mark, I mean, you just can't fault perfection. I mean,
you can't fault him. You know, this is what we've all kind of been expecting, and Mark Marquez, like, it's champion. It's between the two Marquez brothers, what, it's 40 points?
40 points.
And 110 or something between Mark and Pecco Bagnaia. So, you know, it's down to two riders, let's be honest, and it's Mark's obviously to lose, but him in red just seems so unstoppable now. Like, Magello is just one of those tracks, like Qatar, where it's just traditionally never been his circuit. So for him to go out there and just dominate what he did is incredible.
How was he the start of the weekend? He was like, you know, it's my bogey track. You know, it's never been a strong point. I'm going to be behind here. It's just damage limitations. And even Alex, I think, came out and said, look, I'm really confident this weekend. I reckon I can get one off a mark and call some points back. And they're just... I'm telling you, Marquez had so much in the tank at the end of that race. Sure. He dominated. Yeah.
So, Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So, I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, it'd be repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want. Brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom. But that is they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
He's 8th going into the first turn and the sprint. Comes out 3rd of the other side and then goes to 1st within the first 2 laps. He is just unstoppable. So,
and Bagnaia, as you said, did nothing wrong. Tried to beat him up.
No.
But he just... Oh God, you just couldn't. I know. You just couldn't. You couldn't that day. Like, he was just on it. And Marc Marquez would have had that much fuel in him because of the, you know, the booze.
Rossi.
It's Rossi. It's the Italians. It's Ducati's home race. They don't like him. Like, he doesn't need any extra motivation. But... Mm. We all know deep down that he would have wanted to win that. And it's his 93rd win in Mugello.
We laugh because it is just so unbelievable. We don't laugh. We're not laughing at the sake of the Rossi fans or the Italians. But it's just, it couldn't be scripted better for him.
Yeah, for sure.
And then him coming out in the podium, and for the listeners at home, they're not going to see me, but he's just like, you know, I've done it.
It was almost like a weight off his shoulders.
He was. He's just looking out in the crowd. If anyone's booing, he's booing, but he doesn't care. Yeah. Like, he's had that adversity his whole career, and, you know, he's in the GOAT category. He has to be now. Like, you know, if he's on the right machine, he's the best rider in the world in the last, I don't know, who knows?
Yeah.
Forever. So.
Yeah, crazy amount of talent. What do you think of all the booing and everything anyway? Because this has been a big talking point, and we obviously put out a couple of videos ourselves on it, but it's been a massive talking point over the weekends. And I'm interested to hear your take.
Yeah, look, I think I knew it was coming. Yeah. And my biggest interesting thought and look on the weekend was Tardozzi at the crowd. I think he went a little bit over the top. I mean, I think everyone's allowed to their own opinion. And for them, they're passionate Rossi fans. And obviously, there's massive history there between these two, which we've got in so many times. We're not going to go into
sometimes
again.
Sometimes we're talking about NASCAR and it
weaves back to 2015 Malaysia. Yeah. But for me, yeah, I think Tardozzi went a little bit over the top. I don't think it's his role to do that, yell at the crowd for the booing or the cheering or anything like that. He needs to do his own role. I'm not sure how you feel about that. I like the passion and the passion for Ducati and everything like that. But there's just deep hatred there. And, you know, that's why we watch, you know. Mm. We love the controversy.
Mm-hmm. God, I've changed my answer this so many times on this. And it's...
I
actually agree with both sides. Shittest answer ever, I know.
Switzerland.
Yeah, Switzerland. But I agree with both sides because Tardozzi comes out and he says, you know, he basically says...
James has got ammunition on him.
Oh, no, I do. I think it's unsportsmanlike behavior and is no longer justified. This is the difference. When it's related to events 10 years ago, which I thought was an interesting quote. Because it's like, there's got to be a point where you're like, you just got to move on. A dude's riding an Italian bike. Like, There's got to be a point.
Yeah.
There's got to be a point.
But you know, Italians, they just hold grudges.
And then they do. And I tried to then put it back on me. And I'm like, man, if I had this Aussie rider and some, you know, a Spanish rider took him out, well, and had this big falling out, like I would be the same. Like I would be the same as a fan. So like I completely get it. But it was interesting. He said, Tardozzi comes out and says, the time has come to turn the page and look forward, especially for Mark and Valentino to send positive messages. So to basically make up and...
Nah,
media.
I don't want that. We don't want to see that. We love them. You know, they were cross paths at tracks. I'm sure they don't say hello to each other.
God, no. But it's just interesting, like his take versus the crowd, because it was Italian on Italians, really.
Yeah. And you know, in Rossi's corner as well, the Lucios of the world, those kind of guys, they'd be feeding that as well. Yeah. You know, they'd be feeding it. The hatred just runs thick.
Yeah. And if you got a ticket, you're allowed to boo. They hiss. Euros like to hiss. That's what they... That's why you hear those things like a soccer thing. They all hiss.
No, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a...
Did you give us a...
No way. But they do, bro. Look it up. I'm telling you. You know how you hear like that whistling noise from like the away fans in soccer or something? Or like...
No way.
That's... They hiss. It's a whole thing. Anyway.
Bloody cats in the crowd.
It's a bit like that.
That's ridiculous.
Add Euros for you, Mop. It's just, if you're paying your ticket, I understand, like, that's what you do. But you still got to have the respect for these riders, whether it's Bagnaia or Marquez or Alex Marquez, because they're still putting their life on the line for your entertainment. And that's the difference.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they've gone 360 kilometers down that straight, you know, and then being respectful with each other on track. Like, I don't know. You still got to have that respect there, I think.
Oh, yeah. And I think... I mean, I think there's a lot of people's opinions of Marquez's change over the last few years, including myself. So you just have to stand and respect. And like we spoke with the bros and we spoke to Jack McAfee, and he's like, oh, maybe it was Tom Bramich, but they're like, as you get older, you respect dominance as well.
Yeah, you
know?
It was Tom.
We respected Schumacher's 5 Ferrari, you know, wins in a row. We almost respected Lewis Hamilton's 6 in a row, whatever it was. So, you know, back then, it's the dominance in the sport makes it boring. But then sometimes you got to sit back and say, we're seeing something unbelievable.
But I don't think it's from dominance. It's obviously just that clash of Valentino and the war of words is why they don't like him, and that's fine. Like, you don't have to like everyone. It's funny. Mark came out and said, you know, they can boo me or whatever, but like, I don't know why Alex is copping it. It's just because he shares my last name. He hasn't done anything, but it's just you know, it's just what the fans are gonna do. But like you gotta have, you know, I like the passion for their own country and standing up for their own riders. That's what you want as well. I don't know. Yeah. I'm in both camps. I think it's both kind
of.
But
like, I guess the end of the race, and both the Marquezes pick up these flags, and then Marquez stops with two corners to go, has the Spanish flag there, doesn't take it because you know he's gonna get backlash from it. You know, he could have taken that Spanish flag and gone and been proud of it, and he doesn't do it because he's, is it out of respect?
Nah, I think that was just set up from Ducati. He grabbed the Ducati flag, planted it in front of the Ducati grandstand.
Yeah, then after that, they had a Spanish flag with them, the marshals, he did that.
Oh, right.
And
right,
they would have. He goes, he's like, have it
that
here.
That would have been good.
I know, and he didn't do it.
They never do it, though. Gone over
I know. And then Alex Marquez just has Mark as his 70s.
That's what they always do. It's the worst. Why do they do that?
Silly.
It's but in saying that, Marquez had a better reception than he's ever had there.
Exactly,
a lot better
reception. Yeah, yeah. He was 93. Like, imagine going to Mugello 2 or 3 years ago with a 93 t-shirt. Yeah. You know, I don't know if Curtis's parents have come around like me. So it's a probably similar situation. They've just jumped on the Marquez bandwagon recently. But it's an interesting topic, and we'll be ever for talking about it. That the clash of the two titans.
But you want that. Like, it's just good for the sport. It's good for racing still. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It was funny when they were like trying to drown out the Spanish national anthem and like with that big air horn. Yeah, like, everyone picked up on that.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy fans. Italians are pretty hardcore.
There's no, I'm not sure of this because my history is good, but not amazing. There's been no clash of such between the Spanish and the Italians, I don't think, in the history. I mean,
Spanish Armada and the Roman Empire.
I don't know. Maybe the 1600s or something. I mean, I don't know what their, you know, Mussolini's regime was with Spain in World War II. But for me, it's not like, it doesn't go back to political and history. It is seriously just Rossi and Marquez.
It's a sport, man. Yeah. Soccer.
Yeah.
I think it's a sport. Yeah. So it's
We see them as such similar cultures, I'm going to say, but they must think they're just total opposites.
They would have to.
Yeah.
They would have to. You know, they're going to want to see Italians win. Like, first, so fair enough. And you're going to see a Spanish guy, and they might have Spanish mates or something that's cocky, Marquez, and they would have been, Italians would have been cocky when Rossi was winning.
But so. I'm sure that, I mean, obviously in Spain, Rossi just got such a better fan base than vice versa. So Rossi everywhere in the world back in the day was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. Here you go to Phillip Island and people are still wearing Rossi hats and Rossi t-shirts and everything.
It was a big, you know, back in 2007, Rossi was still the biggest rider.
Yeah. He was, Rossi, like, biggest 08, 09, like probably the biggest. Him and Schumacher probably were the two biggest sportsmen, you know, at the time as well. So.
Yeah, you wouldn't be far off. It'd be them two, Roger Federer and Tiger Woods, I reckon.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the four.
Now, we had a few messages all weekend, James, and people know my hatred of the special livery.
Oh, yeah.
And I had some opinions. I mean, I think the VR46 one looked... He could just do such a better job.
That was shit ass. Adrian loved it.
Yeah,
loved
so did Damo, but...
Right, you can't try
Damo, you could have wiped shit on that bike, that VR46 bike. Damo would have licked it off.
It would have been a giant dong on there. It wouldn't have mattered.
So it wouldn't have mattered. You take that with a grain of salt. But for me, the Ducati looked cool, but just run it the whole weekend or don't run it at all. Like, seriously. I can't... Okay, it stems from... And we actually got a very special segment on this later because James has got his top five liveries of all time in Listy's lists. But for me, like, it all started back... And actually, we'll talk about this later. But for me, it's frustrating because... You know, Ducati wins, and like all you want to see is that bright red bike, and it's just this stupid maroon looking thing. It's so frustrating.
You're autistic.
It's frustrating.
Hey, we'll talk about it later. We're getting off track.
Yeah.
I think you proposed this question for me.
Come.
Is Gigi and Tardozzi now leaning more towards Marc Marquez and just Ducati lands?
I just think you see. Tardozzi for me particularly.
Tardozzi,
he's just got a twinkle in his
eye. He loves it.
He's got a twinkle in his
eye. He loves Alex Marquez as well.
I think he just sees some of himself in Marc Marquez or something. But for me, it's GG, that big smile and you know hugging Marquez at the end. But this is the thing, and I'll talk to you about this. We'll get back to that question first. But for me, if Marc was not on a Ducati this year, Alex Marquez would be dominating the world championship. He'd be winning by 60 points.
He would have won every sprint.
He would have won every race. He actually would have been probably further ahead. So for the factory Ducati team, you have to get on board with Marc because if he wasn't there, you wouldn't be winning the championship.
Correct.
It's as simple as that. Yes, a Ducati is still there, but you know, do they really want a Gresini Ducati? Do they really want their second or third team winning again like they did with Primark? No but way.
Even worse, it's an older bike.
Yeah, I know.
It's an older bike. I know.
So yeah, I think if they weren't leaning now, they're fully in his pockets, on his lap, 100%. He's got Tardozzi on the right, and he's got GG on the left, and then the missus in the middle. You know what I'm saying?
Facing in or facing away?
Whatever he feels like. Mate. He can do what he wants. World champ, or we'll be the world champ
again. We'll be the world champ. Yeah, it's an interesting question.
Well, what are your thoughts? You agree with that, obviously.
I think GG is completely neutral, to be honest. I think he's just an analytical engineer. Mm. They don't get emotional, those guys. Mm. But Tardozzi, he's Mr. Emotions. He's yelling at the teams. He's yelling at the crowd. Rosso, Rosso. He's a Rosso. Everyone's like tapping him. Coming. He's like, I see.
Yeah. I see.
So, but where he's just all in, but... I love Tardozzi.
What did I say on the couch last night? It's a... Damien's was Highway Woggery.
Yours was Wogs Woggin or something like that. Tearing on each other.
It was the ultimate woggery.
Yeah.
That's right. It was
funny.
Italians with Italians, but only Sepsi will get that one.
he'll send you a message at 1 a.m. I didn't appreciate that. Yeah. The podcast, man.
Nah, he only stays at 1 a.m. Philip Bowen weekend, mate. No, the rest of the year, you got kids.
I respect that.
Yeah,
he's a good dad. I think Tardozzi is awesome for the team though. He's up and about. He's energetic, like, and he's always been. Even when Ducati was rising up, and Marquez was still the king of Repsol Honda, he was always up there. He's always passionate. Like, I think he's so valuable on a team.
What's his role on a race? Like, not on a race weekend? Is he just a consultant to the team? Does he run everything for the team?
I think he runs the team. I could be so wrong, but I think like GG's the bike guy, yeah, the engineer, yeah, and he
Tuttles is the team.
Yeah,
guy.
The team.
So I mean, he had people under him organizing everything, but I suppose the buck stops with him.
Exactly, and he's in. I watched him. He was in Marquez's ear, like just before Mark put his helmet on.
Yeah,
and like it was so intense.
Yeah.
So like, bro, he, you know, when he talks, he still listens.
So he's an old superbike rider. You saw
he raced World Supers back in the day,
but not a champion or anything like that.
No, I don't think so. I think he raced in like the inaugural World Superbikes or whatever. Tadotsi.
Yeah. Right. All right. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. But like, just I think just and great for the sport. He's a showman, and I love the passion. See, I'm different to you. I like how he went to the crowd. I liked how he said he's fucking red. Mm-hmm. You know, respect.
I'm sure there's a lot of people the same as you. It's just,
I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's just, it's passion. He's so passionate. That's the problem with a passionate fan base, but they turn on each other.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Aussies be like, I can't be fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd walk away.
They would. No, you're right. You're right. And they are so passionate, the Europeans. They really are. It's a different kettle of fish over there. Like,
completely.
And there is a lot of patriotism, which we lack here in Australia. Which we talk about quite a lot.
Do you know what was on Fraud Watch was the helicopter?
I know.
That was shit house.
I know. That was like, we're in a mince of a world war happening soon.
Bro, scary.
Nuclear bombs getting destroyed and all sorts of stuff. And you fly a little pissy helicopter with a below average size Italian flag.
Bro, it was a normal size flag you get from a reject shop.
And then the guy jumps back in the helicopter, and then they spin around and just go back again. I mean, like, seriously, where's your F-18s?
Three or four. They just have four or five jets, the Italian flag going over.
Yep.
And it just sends, like, gives you chills. And we talked about a couple of weeks ago, how good's Magello? They do this. They do it right. Oh, mate, comes around for fucking shitbox helicopter.
Of all years, this is the year you show your force and mighty.
I know.
Like, seriously. I mean, Australia probably would have put the roulettes out, but, we'll, you know.
We'll, yeah, but fuck. We're a lost cause.
Yeah, we are.
We're a lost cause. So, going back to Magello, the crowd, mm-hmm. right? Is the crowd behind Bagnaia now, or are the crowd come back because they want to see Marquez lose? Because that's the question. Because I think Marquez is the biggest draw card. And an example is like everyone wants to see Floyd Mayweather lose. They all pay big money to see Floyd Mayweather lose.
Well,
and
like
they
the
pay
heel.
Money.
He's like the heel.
He's the heel. And they pay big money to see Pecco Bagnaia winning his track for the fourth year in a row, whatever it is. Because I think Marquez is the draw card. They want to see him lose. That's fair enough.
I'm sure there's fans that want to see him lose, and there's fans they want to see him win, always. And you're probably right.
But just for Magello.
There's a burning sensation of him failing as much as being successful. And there always has been.
Even for me
watching, I'm like, oh, how good if Marquez crashed, like how good would that be? Which you wouldn't think like that now for any of the riders. So.
No.
But it's different. Everyone's different. We're involved more in the media side of things now. So, you know, you meet these guys and, you know, the personalities and, you know, they're real humans, you know?
Yeah. But as a fan's perspective, bro, remember when it all went down, they had a public hanging for Mark Marquez. Do you remember that?
Mm.
In the crowd? They got a fake Mark Marquez and hung him. Mm. Wild. Major death threats. Crazy. I'm just saying, it's not that bad now.
And their wives and girlfriends didn't travel with him, you were saying?
No, there's something in that.
Yeah.
They go to every race and they weren't there.
They both weren't there.
Yeah. So there's something in that.
Yeah, I mean, that's disappointing, isn't it? That you don't feel, you know, if they don't feel safe. I mean, that's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So definitely something in that. But going back to it, like, obviously, bro, because the Italians weren't there when Bagnaia was world champion.
Mm.
They're only there now because Marquez is on a factory Ducati and winning. So
you're right.
I think he just sells a lot of tickets.
Magello 22 and 23, I don't think, were sold out.
No way. It wasn't nowhere near what it was on that weekend. Mm. The weekend was amazing.
Yeah, you're right. And the flares were back.
Yeah.
You know, red flares, still the yellow flares for Rossi.
Yeah, but they're really, this just seems like the first year they really got behind Bagnaia. And it's because they want to see him dethrone Marquez. Mm. But obviously, it's not going to happen. But I think that's great for the sport.
I think the sport's in a great spot as well.
I think the sport is as healthy, as it's at its healthiest ever.
Yeah. Me too.
Because with Rossi...
And Moto 3, Moto 2 as well. So healthy.
Yep. With Rossi, it was great, but it was probably really one-sided and you only had this one big fan base, which is awesome. Mm. But now you've got all these multiple different... You've got Bez fans. You've got Bagnaia fans. You've got Marquez fans. Like, you've got all these Fermín Aldeguer coming through.
Yeah,
Pedro Acosta. Like, you've got all these different fan bases.
And you've got Yamaha fans as well that come out. Like, I mean, Quartararo,
exactly.
Quartararo multiple pole positions this year. Drag, you go, oh, I might, you know, I could see an amazing lap on that Saturday, you know, I'll buy the ticket.
Correct. The French, you know, they pull amazing Grand Prix now. The Spanish Jerez, like, it's MotoGP is easily in its healthiest state right now. With, you know, obviously a bit of a Ducati Cup still, but still competitive compared to what it was. Bro, qualifying still within like a second.
And yeah,
you know, for like top 15.
If Morbidelli didn't take Vinales out, Vinales may have finished third as well.
Bro, 100%. So, that was so unfortunate. That was so annoying. We were both annoyed with that. Like, fuck, you just almost ruined a really good battle.
Well, the story today is the riders have actually come together and gone to the stewards and said, we've had enough.
Really?
Yep, they've had enough, and it's going to be higher sanctions for these kind of things again. Because if you're knocking out a guy and you're getting a long lap penalty.
One long lap.
And it's got to be like his fifth time he's done this.
Bro, it happens the time.
I know. He's just so ultra aggressive. And like, I just don't understand what goes through his head sometimes. Like, finishing fifth for him is a pass. Don't do stupid moves to get up to fourth. And then you get up to bags and then you sit there because you don't want to pass him because you're too scared because of the La Familia Cartel BR46.
Tell us how you really feel.
So, yeah, it wouldn't have made a difference. Yeah. Wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah, I know. It was frustrating.
Like, if it was for the lead and you're going to win the race, of course, go for it.
Bro, I understand.
Yeah, for fourth and fifth place.
Just be wiser.
I know. He did the same thing to Quartararo back in, like,
Indonesia.
I mean, like, he's just a ridiculous move at a place where you have to be right nearly alongside the rider to outbreak them.
Yeah.
Or you have to have the skill.
It was never on.
It was never on. Yeah, it was never on. Now, the argument is, did Vinales probably take the corner? Like, he took his normal racing line, but you can't just move out of the way for people. You haven't got fucking side mirrors to see people. Yeah, so
100%.
Just kind of pick your mark.
Bro, so unlucky Vinales. As you said, he was quick.
Yeah.
But what do you think Morbidelli deserved? He got a one long lap. He fucked that up, and then he obviously got a double. What do you think he deserved?
I don't know. I think a double long lap, but he had that anyway. I mean, to be honest with you, if it happens again, it should be a fucking ride through penalty. You know, it should be a ride through penalty.
I think it should be start from the back of the grid
next round.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's just one, two. It's just too many now, man. It's ridiculous.
Well, they've had enough, you know.
That's interesting with the riders.
And the funny thing is, if you notice Vinales, he actually turned back to the camera. He wasn't turning back to the riders. He's turning back to the camera and he's going like
Ultimate
this.
Ultimate showman.
Yes. He knew where the camera was. Yeah. So he's
Tom Cruise, mate.
He's off fraud watching his back.
He's back.
We might get an unblock.
Bro, imagine.
That'd be cool.
Why is it? This is one of my questions. Why does it seem that Mav is the only one that can ride this KDM? Because KDM at the start of this weekend, T-Shavs, I don't know if you know this, have gone back to four different bikes again. Different bikes.
Mm.
So they're still in a hole, and Mav just seems like the only rider that can somehow get anything out of this bike on the, in quotes, non-factory bike, even though they're all factory.
Well, the other thing is, like, Acosta and Binder were just toe-to-toe the whole race. So you just show they're getting the most that they possibly can of the bike. If teammates finish together, you know that's the most out of the bike. The way Vinales is riding it, obviously his style's that's going to suit the bike better. But what they're saying is that it's just got such a small amount of... when you're in practice and you're trying to set the bike up, it's just so fine lines to get it right. And obviously...
Small window.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, James. For Vinales, it just seems to be working. And some races works better than others, obviously. Yeah. Like, he can be up in third and then finish 17th the next week. But that's Vin. That's Vin and then top testing. But just such a small window to get the setup right. And that's obviously the issue with the KDM. And the difference is, you know, Vinales is a talented rider. Like, we know this.
Bro, so talented.
There's a reason why he was in Forward Watch, because he's shown so much talent over the years. I mean, you said it. You touched on it last night. He's going to be at the end of his career going, what could have been?
Mm.
Maverick Vinales, what could have been? You know, multiple world champion. You know, he's got the talent. But
Vinales came in at a very tricky time. Because he went up against a still fast Valentino, a fast Lorenzo, and an unstoppable Marc Marquez and a Danny Pedrosa.
Oh, he came to the alien era, like 100%.
Very, very tricky time where, you know, in hindsight, should he have stayed on the Suzuki? Maybe. The Yamaha, it seemed like they only wanted, and it was probably a Rossi effect, is they went down the path of going down Rossi's knowledge. Which I can understand that. Dude's a 9-time world champion.
Yeah.
And they, you know, really didn't build a bike maybe around him or take his feedback on. which was an issue. And then, you know, the thing with Maverick Vinales is he needs that perfect setup to ride. But what's interesting is you've got this KTM and they've got four different setups and he's the only one making it work. Like, there's something there and he's obviously got so much talent, but, you know, it's obviously a mental thing and KTM's just the wrong bike, it seems to be on right now, obviously. But what he's doing, I have no idea. I don't know what he's doing, but he's obviously finding that small window of margin and he's making that bike work if he's not getting taken out.
What we noticed, great point, what we've noticed watching that race last night is the talent in the braking zone is where they make their time.
Bro, and you've said this a few times.
Like, you see Marquez just going to that, and Bagnaia to his credit as well. You just see them going to that first corner. You're like, hey, I said James Wright, he's wide. He is wide. And then you see, you know, you see the Yamaha riders or you see some of the KTM boys, just they're running wide. And then you just see Marquez, Bagnaia just lock up, not lock up, but really get it in and then just shoot it through the corner. I'm like, and then what you touched on again was Marquez coming out of the last corner. He had that bike stood up 20 to 30 meters before Alex did and then just flew past him on the straight. Yeah. That was the difference.
20 to 30. It's like he had that much more edge grip. He literally did. I remember watching that live. He had it stood up 20 to 30 meters and then just slingshotted him out.
Because I'm always watching, like, I always think, I'm like, what makes a rider fast? Like, why is he so much faster than him? And it's all like, it really is braking in the corner and exit, isn't it? That's just the two main ones. So.
Well, when they went the 400s, it was on the movie Faster. I can't remember who was, it was either like Jeremy Burgess or interviewing. They said how to be fast on the four stroke bike, is it for 500 cc's, it was all about corner speed. It was all about just flowing through the corner. But they said the four strokes, you got to stop and basically pivot and just stand it up as quick as you can and just lay the power on. Yeah. And it's a similar type of thing. Obviously, it's so much more, you know, so difficult, but he just did it so well. But speaking of quarter names, how good's Italy? San Donato.
Yes.
What else have we got?
Luca.
We got Casanova and Savelli, Arrabbiata 1, Arrabbiata 2, Scarperia, Corentio, Biondetti 1, Biondetti 2, and Pacini.
Pacini, yeah.
Isn't that just classic? They have to be the...
It's a beautiful language.
The
really
best. They have to be the best corner names in the world.
Yeah, and that goes into my point. Is it the best motorcycle track in the world? Is it better than Phillip Island? Does it have a more rounded... Is it a more rounded track with that long, long straight and those beautiful chicanes and those couple of double right-handers? I mean, Phillip Island is, I think, a love for most of the riders on the field, but for me, is Mugello just the outstanding? I think it is. I think it's the best track in the world.
I don't want to agree, but I think it is. And what helps it is probably the weather.
The weather, the crowd. Yeah. I mean, the crowd's great in Australia, but don't get me wrong. But
purely the track as well. Yeah. And that, Mugello is a hard one to go past. It is just a beautiful track.
My Phillip Island close second. I personally, on tracks, I still think Spa-Francorchamps for me is the number one track in the world. But
maybe we do a listies list one day.
Top tracks. It's definitely, all three of them are in it. So
easily.
Yeah, Mugello is a beautiful track, and just even how it's laid out, like it has the Italian flag on the ripple strips, and you know, when you see that track, you know that's Mugello. You know, the runoff. You know, just it's so spectacular, beautiful.
Yeah, very scenic.
You ran out of words to describe it. The backdrop,
the tents, the tents, crowds, just the natural hills,
the flares,
it's got everything.
The podium's cool, you know.
It's what, there's not many races these days where they let bloody people run on the track. Phillip Island's one.
Yep.
Obviously, Mugello, San Marino.
Well, there would be a few tracks.
Thailand wasn't.
Would they have racing after the main race or?
Maybe.
Yeah, because I know Thailand, there was the Asian Talent Cup was after the race.
Really?
Yep. I remember. I was like, what the hell are these things going out? So.
Yeah, I don't like that because I like it when everyone packs onto the... It's good. That's the awesome thing about Australia. It's like you jump the fence straight on and it's...
Yep.
You're really in the midst of it. It's cool.
But on a Sunday, I suppose, at some of those tracks, I mean, they get eight, like warm-up. There's no more warm-up for
Moto3.
Yeah. So, there is some time there. Interestingly fact, James.
Talk to me.
Sprint race was faster in 24 than 25. What do you reckon that was? They're going so much faster this year, but they were 1.1 seconds slower this year.
Conditions?
Just hot.
It's real hot conditions. Just, normally makes it a bit...
More tyre conservation, maybe.
Yeah, less grip.
Yeah, just an interesting one. Like they're going 20 seconds faster in races, some of these tracks.
Must be conditions.
For me, it was that was an interesting thing. And the other point I took off that, I think this might be the turning point of the 24-25 battle.
Waiting for you, yeah.
Because Digia has come good now, it looks like, on this 25. I mean, Alex Marquez is still performing amazingly. Bags had a better race than what he's
better,
had.
Better.
So this could be the turning point where the tide is turning towards more of the 25 spec bike going faster, but we'll time will tell. Because we can tell that Marquez now is just the Mark variety. Has just, you know, gelled with his bike and it's just unbeatable now.
Very interesting watch for the next 3 to 4 races is that GP24, GP25. It's a good take.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, and none better than Aston this weekend. I mean, talk about great tracks.
I don't know. Cathedral Speed. Is there a better name for a track than the Cathedral Speed?
And it's such an unusual track. It's got some very strange corners, quick, you know, undulation, you know, coming out of that back straight. I mean, I love where they sort of like get gripped up and yeah, it's cool. Cool track. One of the top five of the year.
Superbike Shaw for my whole life. Aston would come on as a kid, or if I'm 25 years old, he would say old airfield. Built on an old airfield.
All a lot of good tracks are.
They are. Silverstone, Donington.
Yes.
All from the war, mate.
That's it.
All from the war.
That is it.
Our boy, Marco Bezzecchi, bro. He's good guy Bez. Good guy Bez of his helmet. Of all the sick kids in the hospital. Love that. Took like 3 months to make that helmet. I love how he's given back. But I think he's found... Him and Aprilia have found something. He had a really good weekend. Obviously, qualifying still a bit off. But he's... Bro, working the process with that bike. He's helping that. He's working the process. He got fifth. He's not just... going back into his shell or complaining, bro. You don't hear complaints. Like he's working for Prilia. Like this is really good signs. And you know, I don't want to take credit of it, but maybe we spurred him on the fraud watch. But but in all seriousness, I think it's really good signs. And what him and Prilia are doing is they're just itching that little bit closer. And he's got some serious late race pace at some tracks.
I agree, and I think it all changed for him when all this news broke with Martin, because ever since then he's turned the ship and he's going, well, this is me now, this is my team. He won obviously, and then he's finished finished top six the last
I reckon he's finished top
six in all races since that moment. So, and he was pro, he was
nowhere
16-17. Yeah, he was nowhere. Out the back where Bastianini was, so.
But he's had a really good string of races and it's awesome to see. That's what we want to see. Like we have a laugh for watch whatever, but this is exactly what we're seeing. And he's doing a really good job on a very hard time in Aprilia's life of the whole, obviously, Jorge Martin.
He is a shining light for them at the moment. Yeah. And for him to get those results is going to just help the team back in the factory.
Yeah.
Because if he was finishing 16th, 17th, they might as well pack up and go home.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
So,
but he's just grinded it out, and it's really good to see. And I hope it keeps happening. I hope he gets some more wins and he's fighting for wins, because it's been a really good 3 to 4 races that he's had, and it's good to see. It's really, really good to see.
I'd be interested to see what happens this weekend.
It's what we want, man. It's definitely what we want. So it's interesting. And as you said, Alex Marquez, we hardly spoke about that guy.
What do you say?
He's fucking second in the championship.
But what do you say? Like, he just finished, like, he's a second god, second king.
But you know, as you said last night, he should be impressive. He should be really impressive himself. Beats Bags fair and square, and beats Digia fair and square on GP25, especially Bagnaia on his home race. Like that. I think that's understated.
100%.
That's really understated.
It's just expected for him now, but for him to say a year ago that he was going to finish ahead of Bagnaia and Mugello, you would have laughed at it. Like, it's amazing how it's changed so quickly.
I know. Get the
answer. You know? La famille.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just as impressive as Mark is. Alex has just been as impressive on... Yeah. You know, he's arguably doesn't have that peak talent that Mark has. And he's on a lesser bike to a certain extent.
Some would say better.
But for him, he's just doing it consistently. And he's just, and as I said to you, he just needs to stay back with that, with Mark and Bags battling it out in the first 9 laps. He just had to stay back and conserve his tires.
If anything, he just got drawn in because they kept hitting each other. He's really like, fuck, I don't want to be part of this.
If he did, that actually happened. He just got I think he got the double slipstream and then just went up the inside on the straight. So, yeah, talking about that track, that straight with that curve and they hit on the inside of the thing. Just theatre, isn't it? Just theatre. It's like a box office.
Over the pit lane exit.
Yeah, I just
isn't that
love it.
Sick?
I know.
They go over the pit lane entry and then out of the pit lane exit. Yeah. How does that work?
It's so cool.
It's box office.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's scary though. That just separates the men.
Oh, but like you looked at that onboard footage. I mean, they're right there.
Bro, I know.
And then Bags is like into the first corner, like millimeters off the back tire of Mark. I'm like, oh, how good is this?
But that's just a trust in these,
right? Yeah, I know. Keanu Reeves, he was gone wild on the boxes. He's like going like, geez, you know.
Dinner plates, bro.
Yeah, oh, it's autistic as, yeah. But the thing is, like, you know, it surprises them as well, you know. It's crazy.
It was, yeah, spectacle. That track is a spectacle.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's so good. And the race
was... He's Rosso. That's going down in infamy.
It is, yeah.
Yamaha, serious chatter, not their track, used to be their track. Pack up and go again next round. Same with Honda.
And I think Quartararo has unbelievable results in Acid. I remember that when he was on the Petronas, him battling Marquez there. He was getting that chat, like that wobble through that up to the back straight.
Like a tank slapper.
The tank slapper. And I was like, fuck, he didn't have that. He would have won that race. So Mark probably had 5 seconds up his sleeve.
Probably.
But yeah, that was when he was shining on that. That year, I remember nobody was just anywhere near Marquez except him that year.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of messages throughout the weekend. Is Quartararo the second most talented rider on the grid? And I think he probably is.
Yeah, I think he is. I don't think you'd have to debate too hard for that.
No. I got a feeling for Quartararo this weekend.
Awesome. I like it. You can put him number one for the win.
Yeah, let's...
Yeah, come on, do it.
Honey, you needed some points back. Yeah,
I do. Attaboy.
After we say Marquez is unstoppable.
That's Motorsport Republica.
It is.
Bro, last thing, Aigura, 10th.
Yeah, it was great. He was 17th with probably 12, 13 laps to go. And then
His way through, bro.
Came his way through the field. So, yeah, I mean, very impressive.
Honda Asia.
He's... yeah, he's my boy for Rookie of the Year. Needs to keep outperforming the elder Gears. I think we saw the footage of elder Gear running wide into the first corner. Yeah. He was just on his back foot from there, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he was quick at the end. But Aigura, it's good. He's come back from injury. He's still quick. Being fast at Mugello is very hard to do. So to do that and come back to the field and be 10th is a credit.
Yep.
I love to see. I'm a big Aigura fan, man. Big awesome. Aigura fan.
Moto 2, James.
Bit of a snooze.
I know. Well, it was so... I mean, Moto 3 was such a classic and we were still catching our breaths and we sort of... yeah, it was a hard one. I think this is how I look at it. As soon as I start reaching for my phone and start scrolling, I know it's a boring race.
Yeah, same.
And like, you would never have done that in Moto 3. You would never have done that in Moto GP. So...
Correct.
I'll get the Moto 2 results up. I do apologize. I am a little bit slow on this one.
Get the
Manu Gonzalez first. Albert Arena second.
Right, where'd that come from?
Grassini.
Two P2s that weekend, Tommy. Grassini.
Good point. Yes. Aaron Canet third. Diego Moreira fourth. Got some chat on him later.
Go on.
Celestino Vieta fifth. Dennis Onchu, my boy, sixth. Guevara 7th, David Alonso 8th, which was still impressive because he was up the... I think he was down to 17th when the halfway through the race. So he came back to 8th, which is great. Joe Roberts 9th and Marco Ramirez 10th.
Where's that boy Senna?
Senna finished 13th.
He clawed his way back. I think he got pushed out or something.
He did. He got punted in the first corner, he said, and it was off. But the thing is, qualifying just has to be better. Because when you qualify up the back, you just get every chance of this happening. And his teammate was up the front and dominated that race. And he should have been there with him. So he just had a bad qualifying.
Bro, it's like near on impossible to start 17th.
In Moto 2, especially. When you've got all the same machinery and everything, it's so tough.
Literally just burn tires trying to get through. And Manu Gonzalez found that out a couple of rounds ago, or last round. Same thing. You just can't do it. So
yeah, I had a bit of an epiphany.
Qualifying's everything.
I had a bit of an epiphany Sunday night because I'm thinking to myself, where has this come from with Manu? Like, he's just dominating this season. I mean, I think he's still the points battle for the championship is still going to be close, but
still tight. You know,
when it comes to shove and he's up the front and he has had a good qualifying, he wins the race. And so consistent. I mean, we looked at his year 2 years ago. We're down at Phillip Island and I remember talking to him when we first met him, and he was just finishing fifth, and he must have just been squeezing everything he possibly could out of that bike, and now he's got the bike that can win and he's winning.
Yeah.
So for me, he will be on a MotoGP bike next year.
That's what you call the Charles Leclerc Alfa Romeo Sauber effect right there, where you just put everything into that bike, you can't get any more out of it, and you're consistent.
100%. I mean, back to trademark Charles that. Charles was in like probably like the eighth or ninth fastest car, but he was finishing seventh every single race for a lot of that year. So the word on the street is, Jimmy.
Talk to me. You got some news on Diego Moreira.
So Diego Moreira was actually Trackhouse's first pick for testing that bike at Aragon last week or two weekends ago. So, and he turned it down.
Mm.
Wanted to concentrate on Moto2. Didn't have any interest in it yet, which I think is unbelievable. But Manu coming in, being not the slowest rider on the grid, which, you know, sounds, it doesn't sound easy, but when you got the likes of the old Chantra, which we spoke about at the start of the pod.
Ranted at the start.
Is he that? Yeah, how can he be that bad? How can someone jump on the bike and be faster than him straight away? He's been there all year, Chantra.
Crazy, bro. And different tyres.
I know.
That's massive.
Massive. So for me,
doesn't make any sense.
Gonzalez took his opportunity and there's going to be a spot opening there somewhere, but who knows? I mean, Raul Fernandez finishing seventh. I mean, just jumping on that. Is he just going to save his career?
Sure. That's the ultimate Raul Fernandez.
He's just going to save his career with a couple of top sevens and then...
Another 2 years.
Another 2 years. Yeah, they love him there though. They gave him a 2 year... He's got a 2 year contract. He's got a 2 year. So yeah, for me, yeah. Bodega Moreira just turned down the ride. So that's the word on the streets from a very inside reliable source.
I don't know if I like that. I'd be taking that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, there's more to it, isn't there? I mean, the word on the street was his management thought it was going to be dangerous for him to ride the bike.
Bro, dangerous no matter what. What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't believe.
I don't believe that.
He might have the same manager as Jorge Martin or something. Who knows? Because he's had to do the three offs on it. But yeah, for me, it's I would have taken that. And what's going on with Sergio Garcia? Give us some.
He's been dropped, bro. And
he was leading the championship.
Time last year. He was leading the championship.
How can you just lose it that quickly?
I don't know. Like, I've spoken to a couple of other accounts, like Everything Motor Racing. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
And I asked him what's going on. And then he goes, it's just a brutal sport. Like, you know, maybe he lost his head because he just lost a title in the last, you know, five rounds of last year. But to just lose it, like just to get... To lose your pace, whatever that means, I don't know what happens there with him. But then just to get dropped after almost winning the Moto3 world title, Guevara, and then being an outstanding couple of first years in Moto2, to then just being dropped. Like, it's such a harsh sport. And this goes back to there's a double-edged sword for the Spanish. Because there's a lot of opportunity. But if you are not... So on the ball, having a Spanish flag next to your name, like you get cut straight away. Juan Macia, bro, won a Moto3 world title, went to Moto2, did nothing, bang, dropped. Like, it is just ruthless, and it just seems to be getting more and more ruthless because there's a lot of talent coming through and a lot of Spanish talent.
I think the other thing is these top guys, the Garcias and the Macias, they're going to top teams in this Moto2 category, and these top teams want to perform. And if they're not performing, they'll just shuffle out of Spanish and put another one in.
Well, Macia went to a team that wasn't that good.
Oh, okay.
He had a shit decision,
right? Yeah,
Garcia was on a good team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And then he's
there. But it's something.
And they replaced him with a Fernandez of some sort. I really couldn't tell you which one because they all look the same.
It's like Kurnet Fernandez. That's his name. Something like that. Yeah. I don't know. I've never heard of him.
But interesting.
Harsh.
I don't know why the guy, you don't lose talent overnight.
There must be politics within the team.
Politics, or he's yelled at someone, or... tried to pick up the boss's daughter or something. Who knows?
That's funny, maybe. But I don't know. There's not much more I can say with that because it's a bit frustrating. But that's one downside of being Spanish, bro. I'll tell you that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we talked about this on the pod, how easy it would be for the Spanish because
it's fucking hard.
They can just go straight into the sport. But you got fucking 70,000 other kids want to do the same thing. If you're Australian, it's super hard. You got to move over there, but you're the token.
Yeah,
you're something different. It's a different market.
It's such a different difficulty.
Yes,
and either way, it's so different.
Yeah, it is.
It's like you almost got less talent in Australia to fight against, but then to actually get overseas and spend the money and everything is just a whole other thing. That's where the issue lies. Go on.
Moto3, guys.
Almost witnessed a death.
Oh, yes. Yes. It was very scary. So, are we seeing a new generational talent coming through with Máximo Quiles in his seventh race of the year?
Bro, like fourth.
fourth race of the year because he was injured, wasn't he?
And he couldn't ride the first couple races because he wasn't old enough.
So that's unbelievable. So he won, first race win, 0.006 seconds in front of Alvaro Carpe. Third, Dennis Foggia. How good was that? That was cool to see.
Awesome.
You know, 13th win in the lower class. Only, he's like top four winners in Moto3. Like, that's crazy. You forget this stuff.
Well, Dennis Foggia was... I'm wrong. Don't worry.
Dennis Foggia.
I was going to say Foggia was a main rival of Jack Miller in Moto3, but it was actually Romano Fanardi.
Same thing. Rueda fourth, superstar Rueda. He's gonna be a world champion.
He doesn't look like a MotoGP.
He does. David Munoz. Oh, how did he not get a penalty? David Munoz in that first
Munoz,
corner.
Yeah.
Furosato sixth, the roadblock. Aniel Piquerez seventh. Valentin Peroni, the most Italian Argentinian name. Eighth. Joel Kelso ninth. Disappointing from Kelso. He was just there or thereabouts the whole race. He was in the front group, but just couldn't get to the front of it. But keep pushing, mate. And then Yamanaka rounding out the top 10. Special mention, I mean, there was heaps. I mean, Scotty Ogden, great work, up to third in qualifying. Rulston was there, just had to take a voidy action with some of those crashes and keep getting shuffled to the back. Cormac Buchanan, top 15 again.
Awesome.
10 seconds off the lead.
Right, that's awesome.
And the whole paddock just got broken up with that crash. So what could have been for him? And then Eddie O'Shea could have been involved that he took evading action.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing evading action.
So that was Guido Pini who went off? Yeah, so that's the crash that James talked about at the start. He came on and that's the scariest crash of all when they're just still on the track and blindsided for some of those riders. And you could tell because it was happening in slow motion because Matt Burt's like, oh.
Everyone stopped.
Yeah.
Like all the commentary stopped. We were like yelling. And like I had my hands on my head. Like I almost couldn't watch.
Yeah.
And then but how terrifying for him. He's sliding, looking back at these riders.
Yes.
And bro, credit to all the riders for dodging him.
Yes.
Amazing. 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 Mm. But that was one of the scariest crashes I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, because most of the deaths in motorcycle racing are from getting hit. Like the only one is probably Lewis Salom, Barcelona, last corner. But for all the other ones that happen in all the other races in the world, a lot of it's coming off and then getting hit by another rider.
Friendly fire, really.
And that's the worst thing you can do because, I mean, obviously it affects so many people, so many different...
But,
you know, both families, I suppose, isn't it? So,
Valentin Peronis, go back to him. I would like to know his ancestry. He's Argentinian.
I know. It's a very Italian name, David Alonso, born in Spain, but Argentina. I reckon they paint him. What do you reckon?
I reckon his grandparents moved over in the late 40s. Italian in Argentina.
With Hitler moved to Argentina.
Yeah, they all went. Bro, there's towns in Argentina and they only speak German. There's a few documentaries on that. I think his fucking parents are there.
But going back to Foggia.
So Foggia.
Unbelievable. The tears were flowing and he would have had such a hard time and he was without a ride in Moto2. And it's, you know, you can say it's almost embarrassing going back to Moto3 for someone of his caliber because he's shown so much over the years. He's been a race winner, multiple race winner. For him to come back, get third, and you could just see the emotion coming off him. And just a huge congratulations to him. And I think hopefully it's something, start of something good because he was up the back. Like he was 16th, 17th at one point in the race. So came back through the field and... Yeah, it's just amazing that race. Moto3 Mugello is one of the best races of the year, isn't it? We always talk about it. And they're 5, 6, 7, 8 wide in that first corner. And
crazy.
And you're 16th, and then you're 8th, and then you're 3rd, and then you're back to 16th. I mean, it's so hard to keep up.
Who was it? It was Quiles came from almost outside the screen. Remember? And he cut across everyone and then like just went around everyone. Jesus, those moves were wild.
That's actually the shortest part, but no one does it. Everyone goes on the inside because then they can break in a straight line.
Yeah.
Because it obviously curves to the left. So, but yeah, he just came out of the trees. It was almost. It was bizarre. It was like a horse running on the other side of the track in the finish. So.
It was great. But it's always good. Always good.
That's my Moto3. Yeah, Moto3. Are we ready for our top liveries?
Is it Listy's list?
Listy's list.
So there's actually news on Listy. Broke his rib.
No.
Did a T-Shavs.
How?
Snowboarding.
Listy. Gee, have we got video footage of it or anything? Or
yeah, you wouldn't put it on the pod though. Even if he did, does he want you laughing at him?
Does that mean he gets to work from home now?
There's a clean out day where and Age is trying to get him to you'll be right. That's what he said. You'll be right.
You know what the wogs are like. They keep them, get you working.
No wog. Home remedies and shit.
Oh, it's hilarious. Hilarious.
This is the
Thought he'd be actually like secretly happy. He doesn't have to buy the coffees because he'd be at home.
I'm gonna die.
This is all from James Listy, by the way. I have no idea.
I told you to say this before the pod.
Yeah, he did.
This is the hardest list I've ever had to do.
Yeah, okay.
This took me 2 days.
So are we dwindling down from the top 50 to the top 15 to the top 10, top 8, top 7, then you've got it down to 5.
I've got section A, 1B. all right. I've got a top 5 list of the greatest MotoGP liveries. 4-stroke era, Tom.
Yes.
4-stroke. No 2-strokes.
Yes.
So
yes,
I take out Lucky Strike, take out Rothmans. They're not in there.
Why?
I'm just doing...
you're only doing 4-stroke.
I'm doing 4-stroke MotoGP era. All right. Number 5, 2003 Ducati Marlboro. Bayless, Loris Caparossi.
Gorgeous livery.
Red.
Yep.
The Marlboro. Now, not all of these are special liveries either. Some of these are just nice
liveries. Well, I don't want the special liveries, James. I want the normal liveries.
There's a couple of special liveries in there. But the 2003 Ducati Marlboro, beautiful bike. Some of the last of the cigarette companies loved it.
Well, it's just that classic look, isn't it? Yeah. No wings. Back in the day, the red and the white. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
It's classic MotoGP. It really is.
Classic. It is. It's classic MotoGP. 2003, special livery, Repsol Honda of Valencia. The Rossi Valencia. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, I probably shut my eyes.
Obviously, the fans will know. It was his last race for Honda. Repsol did a special livery. Very iconic, very, very iconic livery for Valentino and for Honda on basically a perfect season before he went to Yamaha. Number 3, speaking of Yamaha, I think it is Camel Yamaha / Honda. The Camel livery is that yellow and blue. Beautiful. Especially Valentino's one of the blue, the yellow, and the white 46. Same with Colin Edwards. I loved it. That looked fucking good. Had a nice Camel buddy hat back in the day. I think it was an F1 one, wasn't it?
Yeah, Camel's classic. We've got our beautiful Camel beanies if anyone's interested.
We loved it. Number 2, HRC's Silverstone special livery of last year, the throwback Honda.
Ooh.
That was beautiful. The red, white, and blue, the yellow numbers looked amazing. A good homage to back in the, I think it was like the Eddie Lawson days. I could be wrong.
Look, and going back to special liveries, I am a fan of special liveries when they mean something. Okay.
Okay.
When they're a classic historic livery,
yeah,
all for it.
Okay. So something like that's HRC one. Because they had the Diney, old school Diney, easy leathers.
Happy.
Paint job.
Happy.
It was beautiful.
And they ran
beautiful.
It the whole weekend.
They did. Yes.
Thank you.
They did. They did. That was good. That was a great event. They did that. Mm. That everyone had an old school livery. It was awesome. Number 1. Give me a guess. Just give me a guess.
It's got to be Yamaha.
Oh, you know this, bro. You know this answer.
Stoner.
Nah.
It's got to be Rossi.
Nah. Do you want me to tell you?
Go for it.
Rizla Suzuki.
Oh, my
iconic
God.
Iconic blue.
Well, it is a beautiful, beautiful color and a beautiful... sponsor and will be forever remembered.
Yeah, cigarette paper, I think Rizla is. But the whole bike looked awesome. Vermeulen on it looked great. Bautista on it looked awesome. But I think that is this personal opinion? Don't attack me. I'm sure I'm going to get attacked right now. But that, for me, was the greatest livery of all time in the MotoGP era.
And what makes it so special, James and I were up at Chris Vermeulen's house and he's got a replica MotoGP bike with a Rizla livery in his lounge room. We sat on it. We touched it. We smelt it. We licked it. It was amazing.
Kissed it. special mentions for our OGs. 2006, you'll like this. Red Bull Suzuki at Laguna Seca.
Yeah, it's cool.
It was like a Red Bull, like Max's car.
Yeah, Red Bull's never gone full livery for a MotoGP bike, have they? Nah. I mean, they've never had technically their own team or major sponsor of a team, are they?
Correct. That was awesome. Chesterfield's Aprilia Silverstone that they did last year. Casey Stoner's, this is your most hated one, Casey Stoner's white Aussie Ducati for 2009 Phillip Islands.
Yeah, that's where my hatred of special livery started on that day, on those hallowed turf of the of the Phillip Island racetrack.
The Heritage Grassini, beautiful. That like silver, light or white and the blue Italian flag.
We haven't really narrowed it down here. We've got a few special mentions.
Three more. The Playboy LCR. People forget about the Playboy LCR.
One off?
Randy. No, full sponsor.
Full season.
With Randy DePugne and Paris Hilton was there for a bit of it.
That's cool.
2004 Kawasaki, look it up. That I almost had that as number one. That was beautiful. And then Marco Melandri Spider-Man, the Spider-Man bike when Spider-Man came out. How crazy that Spider-Man movie? Bro, they fucking sponsor a team for a round.
That is cool.
That's Listy's lists.
Listy, thank you for sponsoring our list as always.
That was as hard of a list as I'm ever going to do. It's now your turn next week, mate.
You yes, I'll come up with something good. Come with something. Maybe do with Formula One liveries.
That'll be a 20-second segment. Yeah, Red Bull, yeah. Yeah, Rothmans, yeah, whatever, move on. Vodafone McLaren was a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
iconic, that
one. Yeah, I mean, anything like, I mean, West.
I got him going now, here we go.
Yeah,
go
we'll save it off, maybe not next week, but a week after.
Oh, I should have put West in our one. Yeah. Not a GP one, fuck. What's next? Hot takes? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, world famous hot takes. Let's get it going, Jimmy boy.
Thank you to everyone that put it in. I would say T Shavs, this is a record amount of hot takes after Mugello.
Yeah,
and through Mugello. We had people messaging hot takes through the race.
Are we talking?
And emails.
We had emails. We had DMs. We had hot takes where we should just put them on there. But it's hard, James. I'm telling you. No copy and paste, which frustrates me. All right. No copy and paste Instagram meta. And very limited amount of characters. So how they people fit in it, and I didn't realize until you actually do it, you know, it's actually quite hard. So kudos to the Australian and international public.
I'm going to start off with underscore Derek Hall. This was a big one. The MotoGP stream quality was hot garbage. Website is garbage. App is garbage. $150 is a joke.
Wow. So quality is saying, Des. Yeah, right. I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, I had a bit of frustration with you last night because F1 is in 4K. Everything is in 4K now. And
is
then
it footy?
Footy is in 4K. AFL is in 4K. Everything's... All your KOs now in 4K. But MotoGP is still normal standard definition. And it's just like your eyes adjust and when you watch it, it's just not as clear. Mm. Like you need 4K for that sport. And I'm sure they're going to have it next year. But actually, I'm not sure with them. No, I'm not. Because it's like 10 years maybe.
MotoGP might get it next year. I reckon World Superbikes will go to standard definition in about 15. Sorry, World Superbikes. That was a drive-by. Our boy OG fan, Matt Stevens. KTM can be competitive, but only on fast tracks with long straights. Kind of like Ducati before 2022-ish. So like your Guitars, yes. Your Mugellos, your Aragons.
Austria. Yeah. No, I mean,
Austria will be an interesting one.
I tend to agree, but I think fundamentally they weren't a rocket ship down the straight. They weren't like passing people left, right, and center. I mean, Vinales had his chance on
you're right
on Morbidelli, and then those sort of. I mean, there's a couple of scenarios on there, but it wasn't like they were like that much. Like the Ducatis were that much faster than everything else back then.
Like 07 Ducati, remember that?
Oh,
that was 20Ks faster than Yamaha,
way faster. So it's not at that point, and I think they've got a speed advantage, but. It's not 20 kilometers. It might be 5 or 6. And I don't know the speed trap. So, yeah. Paraphrasing here, of course.
At CMAC993, OzGP needs to try and recreate the energy of European races. Mugello atmosphere was 100 emoji. I think you don't want to do that. I think you need to create our own identity in Australia. And the Aussie fans just aren't Europeans. We have a different culture.
But I know, but dead set. And we've spoken to OzGP about this. When you walk in, I think you need a DJ in a stand and you just need to play some nice tunes. It gets you going. It really does.
I completely agree.
Walking in there with silence, yeah. it's not the vibe anymore.
Nah.
Like, yes, it's awesome walking in the Moto, hearing the Moto 3 bikes going out there, but you want to walk in. You walk into
you're always going to hear the bikes.
Of course. You walk into the F1s and you got bloody there's that standard bloody beat that's going and you just feel good.
It
makes you feel good.
Well, it makes you want to have a drink.
It does make you want to have a drink.
Spend money at the event then.
I know. Spend money. Like the DJ might cost you $600 for the day. You probably make that in the tab in like the first 10 minutes.
Easy.
So, yeah, we're trying, guys. We are trying. It's trying to be Republican, but we're,
we've got to make it a little bit younger.
Yes.
At Santia Gagores.
I think James needs glasses. What do you reckon, guys? Seriously.
I think I'm not far
off. You need to just face the facts, bro. It's not a... You know, you might look a bit, you know, nerdish, but it's all right.
Oh, you got glasses as well, don't you? I see past your glasses now. I've been so used to them.
Well, bro, it's like the halo. These things are like the halo. I don't see them.
When you see like cartoons and a nerdy guy will take off his glasses, they got little tiny eyes. Yeah. That's like you when you take them off. You got little mouse eyes.
They're magnified in there. Hilarious.
Like Ralph Wiggum.
Hilarious.
He doesn't even wear glasses. What a ridiculous comment. Santiago Gomez. What the fuck, Chantra? 30 seconds behind Savadori. I really hope someone else gets his seat in 26. So a lot of people... Oh, we got a lot of messages about Chantra. I just wanted to read that out because a lot of people think the same thing as us.
Yeah, look, I think we touched on it. It's almost getting to that embarrassing... I mean, it's at an embarrassing stage now. I mean, all for him finishing last in the first couple of races, but now he's finishing 30 seconds behind a test rider.
Bro, a test rider.
I know. And yeah, okay, maybe we'll take 10 seconds off after the penalties. It's still 20 seconds. It's
still too much.
There's no excuse.
You shouldn't lose to a test rider.
No.
We had Savadori on the pod. We've had him on the pod. Listen to him. He's a ripper bloke.
Yes.
And he even says he's there to not win, obviously. He's there just to collect data. So you're losing to a guy that's collecting data.
Yeah, Chandra ain't collecting data either. He's not doing that. So, yeah.
He ain't developing.
No.
At Keegan_87, long-time listener. On the verge of OG fanness.
Long-time listener, first-time hot takes caller.
Nah, I reckon he's had a few back in the Dizay. Fabio Quartararo would do more for the GP 24.9 than Pecco has.
That's a hot take. That is a definition of a hot take.
Yeah, that is. I like that.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
When I get off, I'm going to not be Switzerland. So I'm going to say yes. I think Quartararo is an absolute.
There'll be to-ing and fro-ing 100% those two this year. That'll be the thing. It would have been Alex and Mark, and it would be Quartararo and Bags, I think. Because you have to have a year. I think you have to have a year on that bike to really get to know it.
Yeah, if you... Yeah, bro, who knows?
Mm. We are looking into this, but yeah.
At JRT900, Pedro Acosta on Fraud Watch, T-Shavs.
Yes, we had a few messages. And the Factory KDM boys, both of them on Fraud Watch. Let's wait and see. I think it still needs a couple of
different
races.
You've been harsh on him, so I'm surprised with this.
Nah, but like, you know, yes, 7th and 8th and 9th, it's, you know, it's not good. But bro, you got 6 Ducatis going to take the top 6 spots most races. So, you know, you just have to expect that. What Vinales did on the weekend was pretty incredible for where he was. And obviously, he just got Morbidelli. So, can't help that.
Number one, reigning world champion. It's called Papa. Number one ticket holder. Reigning. Yep. Hot take. Sorry, James, but Mark is not leaving Ducati. Wins and pulls out a Ducati flag. Not 93, not Spain. I still stand by that he's going to win the next 2 titles on Ducati and go back to Honda either the year or the year after. And that's a whole like a Ducati publicity.
How many world championships has Marquez won?
8. Yeah.
So one this year to equal
Rossi.
One next year to beat Rossi. Back to Honda as a fairy tale finish to his career.
But that's when the new regs are happening. So it's an interesting time. So maybe he'll wait an extra year. Maybe. Oh, he might retire.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was beautiful, that little segment. It was beautiful.
Yeah, just couldn't get enough air in there. Couldn't get enough air in the air. Just couldn't get enough air.
That was one too many 3 a.m. Analog vapes back in the day, I reckon.
Yeah, it was. Scrolling through, yeah.
All right, your boy. This is your boy, T-Shav. Your boy. You know who this is.
Go for it.
Jared Madsen. So, Pecco isn't back. What's next?
As I said, he's just going to be floating for the rest of the year, keeping his head above water, really. It's not... do you think he's going to win a race this year? That's probably a better question.
Well, he's won Coda. He won Coda.
Another race this year, I should say, of course.
Right, that's a good question. Is he going to win another race this year?
Let me rephrase the question. Is he going to win another race this year if Marquez stays on the bike every race?
No.
Mm.
No, I don't think so because I think him and Alex are too strong.
Yep. Alex is too strong. I mean, that's the crazy bit of this, isn't it? Alex is too strong. No. Alex is beating him consistently every week.
Bro, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I think this race was a little bit of a tough cookie because it was such a hard fight in the first 9 laps when Alex was sitting back, you know. So we would have had the tire over him, but still, I mean, yeah. I just half expected Bagnaia to come back at him at the end of the race and just didn't. He fell further behind, which is so unlike Bagnaia.
I know.
Like, remember him with Martin? Like, he was just always there.
Always in the fight.
Race pace was just unreal on a Sunday every single week. Like, he was always there. He always put it first in the first corner and then just went away with it most races. So,
correct.
It was just all those sprint races last year that he stuffed up, and that's why he lost the championship. Yeah. So.
No, I'm with you. At Mexican 17, Moto 3 and Mugello, name me a better duo. I definitely can't.
Yeah, well, we say this all the time. It's it's the number one, almost the number one race of the year in all of motorsport.
All of motorsport. Definitely. At JM Wrigley, Italians are more Bogan at Mugello than the crowd at the top of Mount Panorama. I'd almost say so.
Style of Bogan, but yeah.
I'm all for it. Yeah. I love it. At Fern _ Helm, I think Fern and Aldeguer could end up causing some chaos. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. He is, he's gotten a lot better than what we thought he was going to do this year.
I agree. I think he's doing awesome. On that Ducati, he's performing really well, and he could be one to throw a spanner in the works for some, titles, but having some real charges at wins in the next couple of years for sure.
Mm.
Definitely. Our boy Matt Stevens, he's got two. First one, Ohio might be the jewel of the South, but Diamond Creek is the jewel of the Northeast.
Hey, Dymo gets a mention.
Our second one is Max Verstappen skipping the F1 movie premiere. The Testa GT3 is a big part of why we love him.
Yeah, he's a racer. He's just a race. All he does is race. He races on the sim at home. He races in Formula One. And he races in these sessions as well. I mean,
he's the most relatable. It's so funny because he's the best driver, one of the best drivers of all time, but somehow he's most relatable to fans.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I know. And he doesn't portray himself for everyone to love him. He doesn't give a fuck what everyone thinks. That. And then people just get attracted by that. It's like Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah.
You know, he never really did anything to give back to the fans or was witty in his interviews and that sort of thing, but he just didn't give a fuck and people love that.
Here's my hot take. I couldn't give a fuck about this movie.
Yeah, me either. I know, me either. It's not for us, though.
I got zero interest. I sent you that thing of the F1 people, the fans watching it, and they're all complaining how there wasn't a strong enough female lead, and even though there's no female drivers in Formula 1 at the moment.
There never has been.
And then the other side of it was the same type of people saying, not realistic enough. So I'm like, well, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yep.
It's just, it's not for us. No. I could not.
Drive to Survive's not for us either. Nah. It's just and then what they're saying is it's just a Drive to Survive movie, pretty much. It's the same theme. But yeah, I mean, I'll watch it on a flight somewhere probably.
Yeah.
We'll probably watch it on the way to Malaysia or something. It'll be on the TV sooner rather than later. But they're saying it's going to be a massive film worldwide and bring even more people to the sport, which is just crazy. Because they did a bit of a tidbit for you. They got 20 random people and watched the movie like as a screen test in America. And they said at the start, does anyone watch Formula One? Nobody said yes. At the end of the race, does anyone want to watch Formula One now? Every single person put their hand up. So
I wonder if that's like a marketing thing from the F1.
Yeah, look, it could have been. And like, it's the Americans, so you know what they're
marketing. Yeah, they love selling shit.
They love selling shit. But for me, it's that's where it's going to. It's going to the person who... Couldn't they think of a better name? What's it called? The Formula One F1 movie. That's what it's called. F1. Yeah, I hate that.
I don't know. I'm just not into it. I wouldn't even be into it if it was MotoGP. It's something about when it's not real, I just don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As soon as I know it's not real, I don't care. Like, I want to see live action.
Yeah. No, same. I'm same as you. I couldn't care less.
There's no excitement because the excitement is when Bags, Marquez, and Alex are 3 mils away from each other down in Mugello at 360 km/h. Now, when I know it's a scripted movie, it doesn't make my heart race.
Nah, it's a different kettle of fish altogether.
I poo poo it, mate.
Mm.
I fucking poo poo that. Our boy James _S1000RR, which I believe is one of your minions from Phillip Island that gave you King COVID that sign. I think he stole like 4 of his beers that night.
Yeah. I was surprised he's still kicking because I was almost dead. I was almost dead. And
yeah, have you seen the video of when Kurt Angle gives a tranquilizer to the Big Show? That was like you, but if that tranquilizer went into Curdy, which it did, that literally almost killed him.
Yeah, it did.
Curdy's laughing at that one. Remember that Curdy, the tranquilizer on the Big Show? from Kurt Angle.
Because I had 40 kgs on him as well. I had 40. And I got about 60 on Curtis, I reckon. Dripping wet, Curtis. Dripping wet. Yeah, you are. Go on.
What happened to the heart rate monitors in MotoGP? Bring them back.
Oh, 100%.
Love that. What a great hot take.
100%.
I would love to know that.
Yeah, because that was just
insane.
They
put fucking cameras in there that broke collarbones. Bring back the heart rate monitor. That
can't be. You strap it around your chest. I mean, they all wear one probably anyway.
You'd think so.
Interesting. Oh, that must have been a backlash from the riders, you'd have to say.
They had it a long time ago now, I reckon.
Yeah, that was cool. Maybe they had an F1 as well.
Early Marquez days. Last one, Pewy_89. Do you think we need more manufacturers in MotoGP?
Look, I don't think so. It doesn't cross my mind. I'd love to see BMW, Suzuki, and Kawasaki back. But, you know, does it really worry me on a weekly basis when I watch it? Not really.
Doesn't worry me. Doesn't worry me at all. I have no interest. I'm just not a BMW fan. Cars or bikes. I have zero interest in them being in there. But maybe I'm just a bit more traditional. I would love Kawasaki to come back. Will never happen. Suzuki's like a 10% chance of happening.
Yeah. But BMW would be just huge for the sport. Like, it is it'd be the biggest brand there, pretty much. BMW bikes and cars together would be bigger than Ducati. I know, it's a huge brand, the biggest brand in the whole field. So
Almost took over the world, that brand, Mark.
Everyone loves that S1000. It's such a robotic bike, isn't it? So that everyone says. So
yeah, I'm not a fan.
But you're right, they're probably suited well in World Supers, but we'll see. I still think they're coming in with VR46. That's my tidbit, but we'll see.
Gone quiet, mate. That's gone quiet.
Yeah, that's what we want, mate.
Toprak
went quiet as well and then signed. So
yeah, he did. Let's finish up Curtis. I want to... That's how we're going to get his attention.
He heard us. He hears us. I think he's just got selective hearing.
Curtis, we want to talk to you. Parents of Magello, what they think. Had to clap him.
He's going to think that's the sign when we do the...
hot, first and foremost. Red flares going about like no tomorrow at Magello.
Yeah.
Florence in of itself, loud as always, and not the greatest smell, to be honest. Other than that, though,
think of the positives.
No. I want to know, was there heaps of booing of Marquez?
Yes. Whenever he was doing his interview, they were trying to talk over him.
Yeah, right.
They were just going crazy. Whenever Mark Marquez was on the grid, whenever he was in the pit lane, if you could see him, it was
hissing,
hand to mouth, clicking, hissing.
Is hissing a thing, Curtis?
I don't know.
It's hissing's a thing. I'm telling you, it's a thing. Even Matt Burt said it in the commentary.
Hissing.
Hissing.
Like animals.
They do that the soccer, I'm telling you. You know that high-pitched voice? You know when you hear the high-pitched voice from the away fans or whatever?
Australians are fans. Americans are fans. Europeans, the fanatical.
Yeah, they love to hate and hate to love.
Generational player haters, mate.
You're generational haters. I like that.
Yeah,
that's
what they are. Yeah.
Player hater. Yeah, right. Is that a good time?
Oh, they had a good time, but they were thankful they weren't there for the race day. They were there for the qualifying statement. Because there's no public transport going to and from on that day.
Yeah.
And it's hot.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, thank you, Curz.
That's right. I like it. Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone. That was a very enjoyable episode. Yep. So, we are back next week for a double header. It's going to be huge.
So, we've got Assen next week.
We've got Assen and we have Austria for the F1s. Two classic tracks.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Not too far from each other in Europe.
Nah.
Weather will be the same. Like, it might be the sort of the similar weather. We're going to get some rain because there's always a few clouds around. Obviously, Assen got washed out a few years ago. So, it's going to be super exciting.
It's awesome, mate. Well done. 121.
Yeah, 121. You're one of your favorite numbers, James. 21.
Beautiful, mate. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it always.
See you.